You thought Millard, Kiprios, and McLean worked a lot already. Now they'll work anytime you want. Subscribe to the Hockey Central Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. Put down that salad and man up your lunch hour with the best hockey coverage possible. You're listening to Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
It is Hockey Central at noon on this Tuesday. Darren Millard with Doug McLean and Nick Kiprios. The two of them off a exhausting Cyber Monday effort. Congratulations on breaking the internet and purchasing every last item. Today we will get back to the hockey side of things and talk about the Vancouver Canucks and their frustration. The Edmonton Oilers are not happy. Jason York, Montreal Canadiens color analyst, on what the Habs will do with the absence of Carey Price for six more weeks, but a seven-week stretch. What's happening with Travis Hamonic? Elliot Friedman has penned an article on that. And we start with Garrett Sparks and the Toronto Maple Leaf rookie goaltender coming up in after backing up on the weekend, gets the start in place of Jonathan Bernier and tosses a shutout. Garrett Sparks will join us in a couple of minutes' time to reflect on what happened last night as the Leafs get set for a trip to Winnipeg. But 22 years old, seventh-round draft choice, rededicated himself in the summer, lost 17 pounds, and it came flooding out in a couple of emotional post-game interviews last night.
Which is a nice part of sport, right? That you get to see sometimes that emotion. And we've seen a few criers in our day. I played with one, Marc Messier. Nobody, I think, could shed tears better than him. But he's an emotional guy. And you got that sense out of Sparks last night that for a split second, reflecting on everything in your life that led you to that moment, and it comes flooding out, and it's captured in front of the camera. I thought it was a great moment for him and his family.
And, yeah, Bernier was crying on the bench at the same time.
That's not nice.
No, but look, it was nice. It was nice, and it really hit home when I saw John Shannon doing your post-game hit, where he was even emotional because of the whole emotion around that event, you know, where you see a kid that happens to, and it's history. I mean, it doesn't happen. So it has never
first
happened.
First time in
Maple
Leaf history,
yeah,
that a rookie goaltender makes his NHL debut, right, and tosses a shutout.
So when the interviewer says that to the kid, what do you think that feels like? So I thought it was a great story. No doubt about it.
On now, a night
we'll ask him, but do you get the sense that he didn't know that, and that was something that just put him over the top with emotion?
I don't think he would have known that.
No.
Well, sometimes you... Yeah.
But how cool is that?
Sometimes, you know, I don't know. I mean, you don't think anyone at some point had whispered to him, hey, listen, no one's ever...
Nobody's
ever pitched a goose egg.
Nobody would mention
in their opener.
I would doubt if he would have known it before.
Well, just because
then
it happened so fast. He backed up on the weekend, was told midday the day before, and went in. And
you know, once again, it's the beauty of our game is that you just never know. And sometimes you can look at certain situations and take Calgary's goaltending situation. Where were we a month ago? We're talking about a three goalie system not working, and we basically said Ortio's the untouchable one, right? Mm-hmm. We were sitting there arguing about his start. Should he start? Should he not start? Get him going. Oh, wait a second.
Now he's starting, just in the wrong league.
Mm-hmm. Now he's not even in the league anymore.
Yeah.
So that just goes to show you how things can turn real quick. And vice versa. You can be in the minors, think that you're buried, thinking that nobody's noticing. Next thing you know,
you're crying on national television.
Doug,
how the decision by Mike Babcock, as great of a story as Garrett Sparks was last night, to bypass Jonathan Bernier and put this raw NHL rookie in?
Well, I think it comes out of you're so frustrated. You're so frustrated with your goaltending. And, you know, you don't like to do that with Bernie because you really, when you've got $9 million tied up and you'd love to see him come out of this, but there comes a point where you've had your fill and you're like, okay, you know what? Babcock's situation is unique. He's got so much security. They're everything is a positive with the way they're going. Why not take a gamble on it? He had good reports from the minors on the kid. The management group in the minors, obviously.
But you rarely
in the scout.
See this with a veteran goaltender.
You with a, what do you mean?
Veteran goaltender. Veteran players?
Yeah. Humiliating.
Guys called up?
No.
And bench a veteran skater, defenseman?
I agree. And that's how frustrated Babcock is. And I think you've got to be a little careful here because you've got to figure out something's got to change.
Mike Babcock's not being careful.
No, he's not being careful. No. He's lucky. He doesn't have to be. But they're also in 27th place in the league, too. You know, I mean, everything's so positive, yet you look and they're, what, 26th, 27th, 28th in the league.
That's what you call tough love.
What did you just throw out?
Well, because they're all tough. Because they're all tough. Because they're all so close. You know what I mean? If you're trying to be positive, you can say you're in 27th, but really you're in 28th.
You're 25th.
Besides, behind the scenes, I think he's tried everything with him, and now he's going to try the public humiliation thing. And that's tough love. So he's got to deal with it.
Bernier maybe needed that game last night where he had some posts and some luck because Garrett Sparks, as great a story as it is,
you're not getting a better, easier shutout than that.
That was nice to see. He made some good saves.
Yeah. But not some good saves.
Some good saves, but
he forced Taylor Hall to lose the puck on the miscommunication.
But that's the kind of game. It's like the Winnipeg kid. He goes into mini and he has to face 14 shots. And Winnipeg did a heck of a job.
Here is Garrett Sparks,
Mr. Sparks,
the man of the hour from last night. Welcome to Hockey Central at Noon with Darren Millard, Nick Kiprios, and Doug McLean. When did you finally nod off last night?
I'm actually watching you guys on a time delay right now.
we're better on time delay.
Yeah, much better.
And then I turned it on, and then I heard I'd be getting called, and I was like, oh, maybe I should. Hey, you're waving now.
So what time did you fall asleep?
4 a.m. I couldn't go to sleep.
We should have went out. So, I was still awake at 4.
No.
When you wake up.
There's a lot going on.
Garrett, when you wake up, is it one of those what just happened last night kind of things? Or is it like, okay, time to get to work here?
It's a little bit of both. Obviously, the turnaround time has been pretty crazy. And I was just really, you know, excited and thankful for the opportunity. And I just wanted to do everything I could with it. And obviously, everybody who was playing in front of me last night played their hearts out for me, and I really appreciated it and wanted to repay them with a good effort. But, you know, I've always been somebody who doesn't get content, doesn't get satisfied, and wants to keep moving forward. So, you know, there were parts of my game that I was happy with, and there was parts of my game that, you know, I thought I could have done better. And going forward, I just want to continue to work.
So I watched your old team play last weekend, or 2 weekends ago. I was in Chicago and watched the Chicago Mission play.
This is going to turn into a plug for his son.
Yeah, quite a breeding ground of great young talent coming out of the Chicago area, and especially the Mission program.
I am a very, very proud former member of the Chicago Mission. I spent many, many years there, and I've got some unique and special ties to the program. I've won championships with that team, and you know, we were always full of great players, and there's guys now having success all over different ranks of hockey.
Gino Cavallini heads up the program.
Flying
You know, the AHL, and a lot of those guys are my former teammates. So
Garrett Sparks is with us on Hockey Central. Darren Millard, Nick Kiprios, and Doug McLean. When did you feel like you were part of a normal game last night?
Right from the onset, I was trying to stay calm. I tried to get all my emotion out, you know, ahead of time, and you know,
how do you do that?
Soak in the moment.
How did you get the emotion out?
What's that?
How did you get the emotion out? You talk about flushing it. How did you do that before you went on the ice then?
I just went out to the bench and I you know, took it all in prior to getting dressed and, you know, kind of came to the realization that everything I've done is, you know, come to this point and to enjoy it and play the game that got me there. You know, I was drafted by Brian Burke, and one of the things that he always said was, you know, dance with the girl that you brought to the dance. And I just wanted to go out there and do the things that made me successful in the past, and I'm glad that that alone was enough to win that game.
Garrett, I think last night your best moment was after the game. I think it's Lauren Howe did a terrific job capturing the moment of your emotion. First of all, are you an emotional guy? We used to take bets on how long it would take Mark Messier to cry during his post-career speeches. Are you typically an emotional guy, or did that catch you off guard?
A little bit of both. I've been playing hockey for a long time, and I don't think there's a game, whether it's, you know, game seven of the playoffs or it's at the local rink with all my buddies, you know, in the summer playing roller hockey, that I'm not, you know, doing everything I can to win that game and having fun while doing it. I'm just a competitive person, and I don't like to, you know, be on the wrong side of things. And so, yeah, I would say I definitely bring a bit of emotion to my game. I care about what I do, and, you know, I care about the impression that I leave on people. So I was really caught off guard last night, though. You know, the Maple Leafs are in their 99th season, and to hear that nobody had ever done that prior was...
So you had no knowledge of that until that interview?
I didn't know. I didn't know until I heard.
That one caught you off guard.
Should.
Yeah, that was the
knockout punch.
Yeah.
Garrett, it's a tough road for goaltenders to make it to the NHL. And I remember, you know, you're always sitting there in training camp saying, well, let's send this kid to the East Coast League so we make sure he gets lots of playing time. How tough has it been for you? You're still a young kid, but how tough has it been to pay the price of what it takes to be an NHL goalie when you're not a top pick?
It's something that I've dealt with my entire life. You know, right from minor hockey, I was always, under the radar, you know, as opposed to other kids. I'm a U.S. born player who ended up going to the OHL because not a single NCAA team, you know, talked to me before, Guelph had drafted me and contacted me, and it was a bit disheartening. And, I always believe that you go where you're wanted, and, you know, you repay the people that have faith in you with a good effort. And, so to finally kind of get this level of recognition, I guess has been worth the wait. But I've liked being, you know, under the radar and not having to deal with the hype and, just being able to work quietly at my game and do everything that I can to be better.
Garrett Sparks is with us on Hockey Central at noon. Darren Millard, Nick Kiprios, and Doug McLean. You keep talking about, and these quotes about reflecting on your past, and you cite July, and it's this past July when you dedicated yourself to fitness and eating better. Did somebody talk to you, or did you come to this realization yourself? How did that come about?
I've been, you know, told from the very beginning here in Toronto that if I wanted to be an NHL goalie, I had to be in better shape. And I was always a kid who played hockey just because I really enjoyed playing. And I put in work at my game on the ice, but never, you know, had to put in the effort required to play in the NHL off the ice. I was always able to get by, and it just started to make itself apparent that I needed to make some changes last year when I got sent down to Orlando, and I was injured the whole first half of the season, and it was one in which kind of my body failed me for the first time in my life, and I wasn't able to play. And, you know, you take away hockey from somebody who that's all they have, and you start to realize what's really important, and the changes that you can make are simple, and it's willpower and dedication at the end of the day.
Hey, Garrett, I said last night that I believe that it's, and I don't know if the right word's easier, but there's never been a better opportunity for goalies in the East Coast League to find themselves in the NHL in a shorter period of time than today. And I say that only because I think your position has made greater strides than anywhere else when it comes to techniques and coaching and specialty training. And I think, you know, when you watch kids today, and even at an early age, and they've got, you know, and Pierre Greco, correct me if I'm wrong, you've trained with him a lot over the years. He's out there.
Since I first got to the Marlies, he's been a rock for me and really transformed my game. So I agree with you. There's a lot of tools that if you want to use them these days, as far as goaltending and coaching and learning and the analytics of the position, you know, there's resources out there that show you the right and the wrong. And it doesn't always take a goalie coach these days.
So, you know, you've seen that commercial, Boston Pizza commercial, where the guy's on the actor sort of thing. Have you seen that commercial?
With the trophy?
The trophy actor.
Where he's modeling the trophy.
Yeah. Well, you reminded me of him last night when you would go down on the ice and then you would jump up back into position. I'm thinking, oh, my God, how do you do that? That's not analytics. That's skill. That's talent.
You end up, you fell over the post a little bit and you actually picked yourself up by bringing your legs together.
Now, that's not analytics, but it was like the trophy. It was like the trophy guy.
Nobody's ever noticed, I guess. And yesterday, everybody was, like, amazed by it. I was just trying to recover from falling over.
Okay, was the scariest moment when you and Hamonic left the puck behind the net? In the first period?
I don't know what happened there, but... you know, it was way early, so may as well get my blood pumping at that point. it stayed out of the net, and that's what's important. So,
where's the game puck?
I don't know. It's with the equipment staff right now. I think it's getting framed. I'll get it shipped to Chicago.
So, who, mom and dad get it?
Yeah, they earned it.
What did they do for you, minor hockey?
Don't make him cry again, okay?
Outside of the financial commitment that AAA hockey in Chicago is, which is upwards of $10,000 a year, you know, just to play hockey as a kid at a high level, there's the financials, there was the travel. My last year of high school in Chicago, our league spanned from California to Boston. I was gone the first 12 Fridays of high school. You know, my school wanted to kick me out.
Why?
It's just stuff like that. It's the things you never think about.
What parents?
Just missing attendance.
What I think.
But I was never there.
When I think of parents and what you do for your kids, what one thing you really do for your kids is you listen to them whine a lot about coaches and practices and games and. Did they listen to you whine too? Because I'm just wondering if it's just me that had to listen to that as a parent.
No, I like to complain. But at the end of the day, you realize what you want in life. And you know, if things like that are attainable, you set aside your complaints and you just get to work. And eventually people start to take notice.
So, just before you leave, did you go up to Reimer and say, listen, take a couple more days off with that sore groin or whatever's bothering you, and, you know, I'm okay. I'll go Wednesday.
No, I know he wants to play back in Winnipeg, and I dealt with the same injury last year, and I know that, you know, you want to get back in net as soon as possible, and you feel good. So I hope that, you know, he's not dealing quite with what I was dealing with, and that he'll be ready to go soon. And he's had a stellar, you know, start to the season for this team, and he's been one of my biggest supporters here, and I have a lot, you know, that I owe to him. You know, from my first few, from the very beginning here, he's been a very good teammate and a huge supporter of me, and I appreciate it.
I know you're a gear guy. I love the Trevor Kidd retro pads too. Pretty cool, and can't
Does
wait
he know
for
who
your
Trevor
next.
Kidd is?
Yeah, I believe he does know who Trevor
Works
Kidd
for
is.
Gavin Management
oh, yeah.
now.
I'm well aware.
Yeah, really cool.
No,
can't
I
wait to see
career.
What your next offering is. Congratulations! Thanks for joining us. You're welcome on Hockey Central at noon anytime.
All the best.
All right, thank you for having me.
There's Garrett Sparks.
Very nice.
Darren Millard, Nick Kypreos, and Doug McLean. 4 a.m. Finally shut her down, 4 a.m.
And
a lot going on around that.
You like the Chicago Mission. Gino Cavallini heads yes. up that whole program there, a former NHLer from Toronto, Gino. So great story all the way through, like he said, it was a battle.
But last night was fascinating because you had this Bernier benching, Garrett Sparks, who... If you don't follow the American Hockey League, you don't know a lot about.
I was saying Brad Sparks.
Comes up, and you weren't sure the Oilers wrapping up a road trip, how it was going to go.
Yeah.
And then it kind of built into this, Toronto takes a lead, Komarov scores, a career high for goals.
When did you guys?
Darnell Nurse and Dion Phaneuf with a little bit of pushback. But the story was building of Garrett Sparks gets a couple of posts in the second period, third period in the intermission. I said he was perfect, and you were all over me about not mentioning the shutout thing.
But where did you guys catch it about the history? Did you guys?
We knew about it in the middle of the second period.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, you with your superstition and not mentioning shutout. I mentioned it. He still got a shutout.
I had somebody send me a note last night to talk to you about mentioning shutouts, to educate you on
Stop
that.
People
it.
Are sour.
I never said it once in my career, for the record. I never said it once in my career when I played.
You can say it now anytime you want.
Oh, all day long now.
I don't say it because it's not worth the hassle.
Oh,
I can,
stop
I can
it.
Fra-
don't
I can
be
phrase
so
it.
Twitter sensitive.
I can phrase it differently and get the same point across. But
chicken.
When he,
so what do they do
when,
with him
when
now?
When the final seconds clicked off, before the emotional interview with Lauren, was just the fist pump. And he wasn't too cool to enjoy the moment.
Exactly. What do they do now?
If Reimer's
Send
healthy,
down.
You got to put him back down. And just leave it for what it is. Are you ready
would
now?
Would you put Bernier on waivers and
no.
get him
you're
to
not
work
there
his
yet.
Way through
I would,
it?
I would ask Bernier to take a two-week
I don't think,
stint.
Take a two-week conditioning.
I don't think you're there yet. I don't
no,
think you're there
I don't
yet.
Think so either. But it's hard to believe, guys, December 1st and the guy hasn't won a game.
Garrett Sparks has more wins.
Like, that's unbelievable.
It's on him to just wait for his opportunity. And I think he's a good guy. He's not going to be
Bernier.
He's not going to be disruptive.
No.
He's not going to shoot his mouth off in the media. He's just going to be a pro about it.
But your
because
career
it does happen to a lot of guys.
But you know what, Kippy? What happens to a lot of guys too is the number one thing you worry about is, Where's my career going here? That's a like, big concern of a lot of players.
Him and 70% of the league is that woken up and asked the same question.
No, I agree.
I don't.
And I used to have them say to me,
"Ton of sympathy for him. He's just going to have to play through it.
But
wait for his opportunity and be ready."
I don't know how many guys over my time would have come in the office and said that I'm worried about my career, my future. And I mean, he's one guy. Wow.
Will you listen to Mike Babcock talk? There's a reason to be worried.
Yeah, damn right there is. Damn right.
Would you send him down for 2 weeks?
I would consider it, yeah. If this goalie coach with the Marlies is that good, or Briere gets some, you know, they've got to do something to get him playing. They've got to get him playing. So Hiller went down. Ramo went down. I mean, he's not the first guy. Yeah. I mean, you got to fix his game.
Corey
he's got to get a win.
Corey Hurst said yesterday.
I'd like to see one more start out of him before I think about a two-week condition.
I don't think Babcock's willing to put him back in. But Corey Hurst said his first start came in Detroit. He stepped in for Mike Richter, who was going so bad in 92-93 that they sent him to Binghamton.
Yeah.
Mike Richter.
Yeah.
The Binghamton.
They missed the playoffs.
And Corey Hirsch got a start because of that.
They missed the playoffs. Mm-hmm.
So I don't
with
think
a team that was supposed to win the cup.
Yeah.
Hey, when you're
big difference.
When your career's on the line, and whether people want to believe it or not, it is. He's gotta figure this out.
Tough Toronto Maple Leafs within 3 of 500. They get the Winnipeg Jets on Scotiabank Wednesday night hockey. Busy stretch. There's a back-to-back there with Minnesota Wild.
We going to touch on the Oilers at all?
Yeah. We went 20 minutes with Garrett Sparks.
Come on, you got to balance it out a little bit. Oiler fans are sitting there going, excuse me, but, you know, didn't exactly show up.
It's on the lineup. We will talk about the Oilers. We'll also get to the Montreal Canadiens with Jason York. What's their plan? And the latest on Travis Hamonic. It's Hockey Central at noon. Sportsnet 590. The Fan is where the players hang out. Sportsnet and the NHL Network.
Tell your smartphone to smarten up. Subscribe to the Brady and Walker podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. On demand. On demand. Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Overtime on Hockey Central at noon. Our thanks to Garrett Sparks for joining us. Darren Millard in the HC studio with Nick Kypreos and Doug McLean. The Toronto Maple Leafs were victorious over the Edmonton Oilers last night. I get the sense that something's going to break here with Edmonton in the next couple of weeks. They're now in a spot where they never expected to be. Even though there's just 3 points difference between Toronto and Edmonton, there's a cavernous
to me the
difference between the how the teams feel
about
themselves.
The biggest concern now is Eberle, and you know, I don't think McClellan or the coaching staff really care anymore that he missed training camp or it's taken him a while, whatever. They just want to get him going.
But it's more, I agree with you 100%. But I read a great article the other day talking about the number of top four defensemen they have brought into this organization over the last number of years, going back to Curtis Foster. And on
what
Nick
they
Schultz,
what they thought were a top four defensemen,
what they perceived and acquired in top four defensemen to come in to help fix this team, and it goes to Curtis Foster, to Nick Schultz, to Justin Schultz, to Ferentz, to on and on and on, and the last being the big signing of Sakara this summer at six million, and it just nothing seems to change. They're a porous. Yeah. And, you know, we talk about coaching. Like they bring in who's perceived as one of the good coaches in the game, and he can't get them to play the right way.
Their night-to-night performance outside of last night, I think, has been better.
Except they're in 30th place.
I know. And that's where you got to
– Yeah. And I get it. It's the end of a road trip. I get all that. But, like, you got a guy 5 minutes out of the East Coast League, and you can't have more of a pushback than last night. Mm-hmm. Like – Sorry, like
they did a shoot the Leafs 8-3 in the first.
But that's not enough.
But you know what's
not enough.
You know what's starting to really tick me off is all I hear is, well, wait till Connor McDavid comes back. The kid's 18. Come on. Where are these other stars? I mean, like, I listened to Todd after the game last night. He's had his fill of a couple of his stars. He's had his fill of a couple of them.
And we thank Connor McDavid for spending some time with us yesterday
here
in Hockey Central. Montreal against Columbus tonight on Sportsnet East. Jason York will be part of that broadcast with Michael Condon as the goaltender. Zachary Fucali been called up to back up. We learned yesterday that it's going to be another 6 weeks without Carey Price. So is this – I think there's two ways to look at this, Jason. You tell me which is more accurate. Is this – an opportunity that the roster relishes to be able to really nail down that they are a team that can withstand this kind of thing? They're not just Carey Price. Or is this a situation where 7 weeks without your number one goaltender is a little too long and you're going to have to go out and get some help?
Well, I look at what Condon's done so far, Darren, and I think he's answered – I'm not going to say critics because I don't think anybody really knew a lot about
doubters.
Nobody really knew a lot about Mike Condon, except he went to Princeton. He's a smart guy, and he did some MMA fighting to get ready for the season. But he's been really good. Even the last game he lost, he still gave them a chance to win. And I don't think anyone's kidding themselves in Montreal right now. he's not Carey Price. He's not nobody's Carey Price, but he's given them a chance to win each and every night. And I think that's all you can ask for. And you go into that room and you talk to the players, and to a man, they're pretty comfortable with Mike Condon. And sometimes you watch him, he reminds you a little bit of Price with his size and his stature. He's a lot more aggressive than Carey, though. He comes out, and I think some teams are starting to go more east-west on him because he's so aggressive. But I think because of how Montreal's played, the little bit of a cushion they have now because of their outstanding start, I don't think there's a lot of worry right now.
Do you think part of that, Jason, that there isn't a lot of worry is because they just went through a period of time without Carey as well? So the sense is that maybe it's just not all Carey here?
Nick, I think you're bang on. And last time we talked, you know, Thomas Plekanec said it, and I'll say it again. He was ticked off at the beginning of the season. He goes, we're more than Carey Price. And I think this group, I think they proved it to themselves. It's one thing, Nick, you know, to say it, but until you do it.
And prove really it.
Think you, yeah. I don't know. Like, you can do all the talking you want, but they've proven it in a small sample here that they're more than Price. And the big thing for me is they're scoring goals this year. They're scoring goals. The power play is better. It's not just one line. It's not just Max Pacioretty. And I think the big question mark, guys, that's been answered here, at least in the last four games, is Galchenyuk's going now. So they've got three lines. They got Desharnais, they got the Plekanec line, and now Galchenyuk scoring. So I think offensively they're in a much better place than they were last year.
This has been a pet peeve of mine since game one of the season was Galchenyuk. And I truly believe that they need him to continue to develop, because I really believe at playoff time, he has a chance to be a major difference maker for this team when the going gets tough. A lot of different guys. I don't like Semin with him at all. I haven't since day one. I don't like the fit. But give him credit. He's hung in through some adversity, and the kid's got it going pretty good right now.
Yeah, he really does, Doug. And I know you did it a couple of games earlier talking about Semin doesn't have enough pace to play with Galchenyuk. And Galchenyuk can play and operate at high speeds. This kid they brought up, Andrew Ghetto, he came up last year and he scored a couple goals in his first game. Michel Therrien likes him because he can play and he can play fast and he can give and go with Galchenyuk and he can keep up with that line. So they got the big body with Eller, but I think you're right. You look at the playoffs and historically this team has always come up short because they don't have that big body down the middle that can play with some skill. And that's what they're hoping Galchenyuk can bring to the table. And you watched him lately. A lot of his goals, he's driving the net. He's not afraid to play in traffic. And he just brings them a dimension down the middle they don't have.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, I think it's going to be really interesting to watch how he continues to evolve here.
I 100% agree.
Jason, last week, I think on Point Counterpoint, Darren did
to the point.
Yeah, making the point.
to the point
where the question was MVP Lundqvist or, and Doug threw out PK Subban, and I'm like, well, you don't really think about PK like that, but then you look and you go, wow, is he really evolved? We don't hear even one word about Therrien feeling like he needs to pull the reins in on him, or he's too long shifts. There's nothing. It just seems like he is really falling into that.
A little caveat to your comment.
Yes.
Is that I was told as the vote, I lost that to the point, but as the voting went on till the game ended, Subban won that vote. So we have an asterisk next to that.
No, we don't. Yes. No, we don't.
Subban won the vote.
There's no
versus
proof of that, Jason, whatsoever.
I watched that one, and I don't know. I have to agree with Nick on this one.
Yes.
He did win. Go back and check the voting.
What about Jamie Benn, though, fellas? He's not okay. Too bad right now.
Just what have you seen over the last few years out of PK?
You know what? When I took this job with the Canadians, I hadn't watched and dealt with PK Subban a lot up close. We all heard the rumors that he's flamboyant. He's somewhat cocky. But since being here, guys...
No rumors, by the way.
Stop talking about... Okay, I need him to stop talking about his brand. Just play hockey.
Those weren't rumors.
Everybody's all about their brand now. It's all different now. It's different. But
your condo
PK,
brand.
I'll tell you what. I saw this. I was in Long Island back... I think it was the Canadians' last game last year. And PK was walking out the back of the rink. And you know the walk there, Nick, when you walk from the rink through the parking lot, and you get swarmed.
To the old Marriott bar.
The old Marriott bar. That's the one.
Yes.
But it's like Seeker Central. You're signing, and PK was signing for a long time, and finally said, guys, that's enough. Because, you know, everyone's selling the autographs there. We all know what those guys are doing there. Yeah. And they started yelling at him, PK, yeah, it's all true about you. When Subang arrived in the hotel, there were six children, and he had signed for 20 minutes. A lot of guys might have kept walking to the lobby. Subban sat down with those kids, and I watched it on the couch, talked to them, spent about 15 minutes, and signed everything they had. And I said, wow, that tells me a lot about Gabe Subban. And people can say what they want about him, but that really impressed me, that moment there.
Jason York is with us, Montreal Canadiens analyst on Sportsnet, as the Columbus Blue Jackets face the Canadiens tonight. Before we go, is there more intensity tonight between the Blue Jackets and the Habs as there was between Jim Kite and Brendan Gallagher on the weekend?
God, was that unbelievable.
In their Twitter fight.
That was great stuff.
I saw when you tweeted that. I know Jim Kite quite well. He's a really respected guy in the Ottawa community. Tough guy. Nick remembers him all the craps.
Joey Kosher.
Oh, boy. He could go with the best.
Oh, my God.
And,
I'm sweating just thinking about playing against those guys.
That was a scary era when you had those real tough guys. When those guys yelled at you settled down. But yeah, it was weird. I think after a couple of days, though, I think guys will sit back and look. And I think everybody has to respect each other, no matter what era you're from. Yeah. I think that's just a couple guys that just got a little heated.
I felt bad for Gallagher because I'm thinking, you're out right now. You don't want to be crossing paths with this guy.
No.
No.
I used to be scared just on the bench when those guys.
If you want to check it out, it's at bgally17 or at Jim Kite, KYTE, and go back and follow up. But, Jason York and I exchanged some messages going, what is happening here?
Let's make sure tonight we don't have Tortorella after the game saying Montreal are a bunch of whiners. They whine enough for everybody in the league.
This morning, Doug, it was a calmer. Listening to him, he went on for 15 minutes.
Oh no, I've seen this. Well, we've all seen this before.
And after the game, maybe a different story.
But he did say Pittsburgh whining up for everybody in the league. So let's hope you guys aren't in the same category tonight.
Jason is one of the best in the business. He's on Montreal's broadcast with Columbus Blue Jackets and Sportsnet East tonight. You can also watch it on Game Center Live. Have a good show.
Take care, bud.
Jason York.
Yeah, I don't know about, you know, Jim Kite singling out Brendan Gallagher, but there's no question that a lot of guys from that era kind of look at today's game and go, no honor, right?
Gallagher
didn't back down
at all.
No, guys,
no, he didn't.
And he threw some video clips
in. He threw some video in of the sucker punch.
The thing I liked about Gallagher's response was he did some work.
But when you sent it out first, I thought you were talking about Brett Gallant, Gally. No. Isn't that a similar Twitter handle?
No.
And I thought, what's going on?
How about you just pouring gasoline?
Brett Gallant? Hey. That would be a good go.
Oh, exactly.
Hey. And now you're telling people on our show today, go back and look at it. Like, come on.
That's great. Vancouver last night. Loses to the Anaheim Ducks. Was that Anaheim figuring it out, or are you really concerned about Vancouver?
Three games ago, I watched Getzlaf and Perry dominate the Calgary Flames. Five assists for Getzlaf. Last night, it was Getzlaf, Perry dismantling and disheartening. Vancouver, I haven't seen them like that much this year where they didn't show up.
If the Sedins aren't scoring 2 or 3 points a game,
oh no,
they're done.
They're really they're
done. And it's hard. It's hard at 35 years.
I know, but
of age
I give them credit
every night.
All we talk about is the game being fast, 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 and the Sedins being a little slow of foot, mid range.
Super smart though.
But they still produce
points. I'm telling
you,
right now they're at the top of the list for guys that deserve a ton of credit. They have played exceptionally well. Last night, they didn't get enough power plays maybe to get their game going a little better. But they're right. Their secondary scoring, their offense from their fence is non-existent. Tonight is a big test for them because they should be really upset with the fact that they didn't show up last night. And you sense it from post-game, from the players. They were ticked off at themselves.
Jared McCann is on the World Junior selection list.
I think both of them should go back. Yeah. I said last night, Vertanen definitely. should go back and play and get his confidence. And if they can afford it, I'd love to see McCann go back and play. I mean, they're playing 10, 11 minutes. McCann's gone 14 games now without a goal. He was scratched a couple of those. They're two good kids. I'd love to see them have that experience. If they can afford it, send them back.
It's a fickle market in Vancouver. Is that not kind of waving the white flag a little bit?
Well, it's a tough move.
It's a big picture move, but
it's tough.
You know how?
But they're all
it's a sensitive market out there.
I think the Lazar example is such a great one,
big time. And you know what? I look at it.
Yeah, but it's Ottawa. It's not Vancouver.
Doesn't matter.
I know it doesn't matter, but it does matter.
You got to do what's best.
It does.
You got to do what's best. It doesn't matter, but it does matter.
You got to do what's best for the player.
It's a touchier. They're sensitive in Vancouver in terms of how they perceive. Are they in it? Where are the fan base right now with Vancouver? Is it a playoff team? Is it a team that can compete for a Western Conference final? Or is it a team that says, much like Toronto, listen, there's going to be a little bit of pain here, and we'll get it going in a few years.
You know, I agree. They probably won't send McCann. They probably won't.
No NHL players. So just point of clarification here. No NHL players on that selection roster. So
can they add?
I guess so. Yeah. If they want to. They can do whatever they want until the roster has to be submitted.
Vertanen gets hurt last night, maybe a short time. But I'm telling you, Kip, if Sutter is a big loss there. Sutter comes back. Berchi was a scratch. I mean, if they get Sutter back, somebody's coming out of the lineup. But look, I agree with you. It's hard to send guys back, but Benning is a development guy. They've got to help develop these kids. And you're right, Darren, the Lazar. I never thought of that last night, the Lazar one. But it's a great example.
Travis Hamonic rumors continue to circulate. Elliot Friedman reporting that if the Islanders and Winnipeg Jets want to come
actually,
to any
Doug reported that last week. Elliot just picked up on it.
That Jacob Trouba would have to be a part of it.
Yeah, I can see that Trouba would have to be a part if you're dealing with Winnipeg. And it's no different than Brody if you're dealing with Calgary. And to me, those are tough deals. I watched Hamonic live Friday night. Hamonic's a good player. He's not a star. And all of a sudden, because his name pops out there, he's become bigger than life. So I'm just saying, I like Hamonic. I think he's a good player, but he's not a star. And you got to be careful that this hoopla about him is not getting through the roof. Because to me, I watched him, and he was just average Friday night in Florida. And
anything that does not make sense, even from that financial point of view, which is a great contract for a guy that plays 24, 25 minutes a night, then, you know, I appreciate that you've got some issues and you want to get closer to home, but I can't accommodate everybody that come to me and make that request. So you may have to stay.
And wait,
you may have to stay.
And he's on record saying he right. understands
then,
that.
And it may be the draft. That may be a draft trade. But when you're giving up a Trouba, you have to know what you're doing there. And I'm sure, Chevy's on top of things.
How important is the playoffs to the Islanders in that new building?
Very important.
So, I don't see a trade. I don't. Unless
I think it's going to be a tough
Winnipeg
one.
Really find a way to sweeten the pot.
And I'll tell you what, they've broken up Boychuk and Letty. They've got them mixed up with DeHaan and Hamonic. So now they got a real solid top four, and they need that top four because there's a drop-off after them in Long Island.
Your takeaway from Garrett Sparks, who joined us earlier on Hockey Central at noon.
I loved it. I thought it was
a nice story.
A great story.
A nice story.
I like his attitude. I like how composed he was. I liked his attitude. Yeah. I liked how he was to people that have helped him along the way.
It's time to check all of that and put it in its proper place and go to work. I mean, you're not...
Sounds like he already does that.
You play your whole life to play one game, but after that, you play to have a long career after that.
I almost broke down when you started. You and Shanny last night gave a great... a feel for playing that first game. It was real good.
John should do Wednesday
night. Thanks for watching and listening. 10-game night in the NHL. Game Center Live on Sportsnet.